Really?
Okay. So the this sort of Amud of Gemara from the bottom of Daf Lamed and Aleph till the bottom of Beis is all about Kashrut and Kelim for Pesach. A lot of very fundamental issues here, but we'll start today with just some of the more perhaps side issues. How Tanur de Tochbe Tichya? This line happens to not be about Pesach. They just smeared it with animal fat. Asra Rava Bar Arilai L'michle L'rifta Afilu B'milchali Olam Dilma Asra L'michle B'kutcha. This is the Xer we're all familiar with from Yordea, that once the bread is fleishik, it's usher to eat even with salt, meaning even with parv, as a Xera. Mesei. Ein lush in a sa'isa b'chalav yim lush kala paskula, assuming the hair of Vera. Kayotse bo ein toshin is a tanner ba'alyo, which is exactly the case of Rav Bar Ilai, yim tosh kala paskula, surah chigasik es hatanur. So the stira is Rav Bar Ilai says that it's tray forever. There's no way to kasher this fleishik oven. And the Brisa agrees that the bread in the fleishik oven is treif, but says you can kasher it by just lighting it up. Not so hard to kasher an oven. Ha-husukatana miyashari, t'yuvta the Rav Arilai, t'yuvta. Okay. And then the next line is the tie-in to our sugya. The Tosafim bring up questions from some other sugyas in Shas. So Tosafim Rasalva Filu brings up the question from Ayin Vav and Beis, from later on, the sugya of Recha Milsa, that it says there, Pasha Fama Tzlibitan or Oslo Ochlo Bekutach. That's actually not the a word for, that's not a direct quotation of the Lashon. The actual Lashon is Pasha Fama, oh sorry, that is the Tani, sorry. The Tani Rav Chana Bredi Rav Chinin Asaba, that is the Brisa, sorry, Pasha Fama Tzlibitan or Oslo Ochlo Bekutach. And then you have a similar Asalochlub Kutcha. Okay. So, and then Rav Herzika seemed to agree that he has a case though of a fish that was roasted with meat, and he also asked eating it with Kuta. So, the Brisa there says of Rav Kahana Bar Bredi Rav Chinna Saba that it's usher to eat with kutach, about the melech shari, but there's no gzera fleishik bread. The gash is, how come there's a gzera that fleishik bread is treif here, but there's no gzera that fleishik bread is treif over there? So the answer is, hasam lo asira el mitam reach deleka iser kulihai. Tosos has a big chiddush there. Tosos says that, what does he mean, leka iser kulihai? Over here, it's mamish fleishik, right? Over there, it's only fleishik because of recha milsa, and that's not so usser. Chor, what does he mean by not so usser? Right, lechor, he means only nisid rabbanan. Right, Tosos seems to be mechadish here that even if recha milsa, that's only a din rabbanan, and that's why there's no gzera of. That's why they didn't make the gzera on fleishik bread because you might eat it with kutach, because if you ate it with kutach, it would only be Durabanan. They point out that this Tosos, Lushitasi, Tosos and Rashi there, Rashi is actually not commenting on on this Brisa of Rav Kahana Bredi Rav Chinna Saba. He's commenting on Rav Parziku, says something similar. Rashi says, the Kasava Recha Milsahi. Right? Tosos and Rashi hold that this end of the Gemara, there's an end of the Gemara here, right? That the Brisa says that if you roast bread with meat, it's usher to eat with kutach, and Rabbi Parzika ushered eating fish that was roasted with meat with kutach. And Rashi holds that the end of this Gemara is holding Recha Milsa, right? And Tosos in Avodah Zarah agrees with him that this Rav Kahana Bredi Rav Chinna Saba and Rav Parzika hold that Recha Milsa. So if Recha Milsa, why isn't there a Gzeira of fleishik bread? The answer must be because Recha Milsa is only Drabbanan. However, that assumption is not necessarily agreed on by everyone. How many ways are there of explaining the Shita of who is it? Rav Kahana Rei, the Rav Chinna Saba, and
Rava Miparzita. So Rashi and Tosfos hold that they hold Reicha Milsa.
Then the Kasha, so why isn't the bread tray? The answer is that you have to say that Reicha Milsa doesn't mean Mamish Milsa, it only means Milsa on the drop bottom level. But what are the other ways of explaining the sheet of Rav Kahana Bar Yochanan and Rav Miparzita?
That he holds like Levi, but it still goes early.
Exactly. So, who holds that?
The Rif and the Ramban.
The Ramban? The Ramban rejects the Rif.
Oh, we read the whole thing. We only read the part.
Okay. The Rif and Lechora, the Rambam, say they hold Recha Lav Milsa. Like Levi. Says no. The Maskana of the Gemara, what was the Rif bothered? The Rif was bothered by the fact that Maisa Rav, that Rav Garzika was a real Maisa, and usually we should pass him that way. So maybe we should pass him Recha Milsa. So the Rif says no. They hold Recha Lav Milsa like Levi. But there's still an Isser Lechachila. Right? Even though Recha's Lav Milsa, there's still an Isser Lechachila. And therefore, when it comes to treif, Recha Lav Milsa, if the treif was roasted with kosher, it would still be kosher. But when it comes to Basar Mechalav, if parah was roasted together with meat, then Lechachila, don't eat it with kutaf because you still have a way to avoid it, and it's called Lechachila. The Rambam, he doesn't explicitly tell you how he interprets the Gemara, but if you put the Rambams together, the Rambam says that if you roast kosher with treif, it's still kosher. And the Rambam says if you roast meat with parith, then he uses a lechachila diglashon of you shouldn't eat it with kutach. So the Rambam sounds like, since generally, the Rambam usually holds in the Rif, holds like the Rif, unless you see that he doesn't, lechora, the Rambam also agrees. Lechora, the Rambam also agrees with the Rif, because he just says that it's also achla mechalav. He says you shouldn't eat it with milk. Now sounds like a lashon of an iser lechachila. So that's how the Rif and Rambam understand, and that's how they paskin. Yeah, he interprets the Rambam that way. That's all they're going to interpret the Rambam. The Ramban has a third way of interpreting these Amorim. They also hold Recha Lav Milsa like Levi. And he says there's no difference between Lechachila and Bidiyeved, but what does the Ramban hold? That there is only, right, Recha Lav Milsa Gazru, but they specifically made an Isser and Basar B'Cholov. Not with Lechachila B'Yevin. He says they specifically made an Isser and Basar B'Cholov. Why were they Gozer more in Basar B'Cholov than on Treif and Kosher? And therefore, well, one of his explanations, both of them are just separately, so you're more likely to mess up, right? Kosher and treif, they don't have to be gozer and reyach, because how often do you deal with treif food anyway? Like, since when do you have anything to do with treif food? But milk and meat are in the higher house all the time, and if they allow recha, you might actually come to accidentally mix them, right? If you could put meat and milk in your oven at the same time, you might, in the end, spill one into the other, or put them in the same pot or something, or one full on the other. Therefore, they were gozer in bas b'chalav, because it's common. They're commonly found in your house, or he has another explanation, or because smell is nicker. No, that is what the Rif says. That it's basar b'chalav. He says with kosher and treif, it's never going to smell treif. Like, what are you going to do? Let's say you have, the smell of the treif hamburgers goes into your kosher hamburgers. You're not going to notice the smell.
What if you have a min tummy?
Right, that's an interesting question. Why he's not worried about a min tummy? The only thing I think of is that even the smell of ham in my hamburgers is not so different than it'll be nicker. I've never done an experiment, because that's the first thing I thought also. What does he say? He says, meat and milk. Clearly, if I'm eating a piece of cheese and it smells like meat, it's going to be nicker, and therefore it'll seem inappropriate. Or if I am eating a slice of salami and it smells like cheese, it'll be nicker, it'll be inappropriate. But if I just have hamburger that tastes like nevela, then it won't be nicker. So Yaakov asks, what if I have hamburger that tastes like ham? Or what if I have beef burger that tastes like ham? So I'm not sure, but the Ramban might say even that taste is not so nicker, because ham and beef don't smell that different. Only meat and milk smell that different. What about seafood? What if I eat fish that smells like, I don't know, shrimp or something? So you might say, I don't know, maybe say even the taste, the smell of salmon and shrimp is also not different enough. I don't know. I'm not sure what he would say about that.
I thought what he was saying was that we don't know how those things smell because we're not used to them. So we won't be makir that there's funny smell.
Okay, but we do smell the goyim cooking them. But it could be all that could be. Maybe it's not nicker because like we're not so used to it. But that's the three basic shittas as to how to read the Amoraim at the end of Daf Ayin Vav Beis. Rashi and Tosfos says these Amoraim hold Reish Milsa. Then the question is just in Psak, right? Rashi says, and we don't hold like them. And Tosfos in Avodah Zarah says, and we do hold like them. Right, the question, do we hold Reish Milsa or not? So Rashi says that we hold the Reish Milsa, reject these Amoraim. That's the previous Rashi in Sakhim. And Tosfos in Avodah Zarah says, no, we hold like them. And we hold Reish Milsa. Yeah, okay. There's a Rava who says you do Bastia. That's for a different reason. And the Rif and Rambam say they hold this Asul HaChila, and the Ramban says, they say that Reichel Vav Milsa, there's a special Gzeira in Bas B'cholov, Bein L'Chachila, Bein B'Dievet, either because Bas B'cholov is commonly found in your house and you're more likely to mess up, or because Bas B'cholov is more nicker than it has an inappropriate smell, and therefore they were gozer. And then you could ask about Mentone, and I have to maybe do an experiment. So Tosus is Kasha here. What's the tie-in? Tosfos' kasha here is, of course, only l'shitase. According to the Rif and the Rambam, there is no kasha. Why didn't he ask for the bread entirely? Because it's only l'chatchila that you should avoid recha. It's not really fleshic bread. And according to the Rambam, why didn't they ask for the bread entirely? Because that's only gzeira d'rabbanan and recha and basar b'cholav. But for Tosfos, then you have a kasha. If it's a really mandav recha milsa, then why didn't they ask for the bread entirely? Therefore, Tosfos has to make a chiddush. Tosfos is forced to be mechadesh that man da omar recha milsa is only midrabanan.
We're assuming that Tosfos agrees. Why are we assuming that Tosfos agrees with Tosfos there? Because it's Tosfos.
Because it's Tosfos, and certainly because if it was only a lechachila iser, he probably wouldn't have asked the question in the first place. If all Rav Chanan Breed Rav Chanan Sava was saying is that lechachila don't mix it with milk, then he would never ask the question in the first place. Why didn't he ask for the bread? What do you mean? It's only iser lechachila. What? Yeah. Okay.
I thought he would be saying like the
Rif. You thought he might be saying the Rif. Like Isser Kulei Ha'im means only a Asur
HaChila. Yeah, I thought that was the only way. I guess I thought it was too Mechudish to say Reich HaMilsa means Durabonis.
Means Durabonis.
Probably means...
Right, but I don't think that's possible because Tosfos is pretty clear that he holds in Avodah Zarah. That now does he hold that they are Paskin Reich HaMilsa, Tosfos is the only one who actually Paskins that way. Tosfos Paskins Reich HaMilsa. Tosfos is... I mean, I don't know if I'd say the only one, because the Rif also puts Yesh Omen. But Tosfos Paskins Reich HaMilsa. The Panano might also, but he's the only main person. So, I think Tosfos, I mean, we should assume Tosfos was Shittasi until proven otherwise. So, according to Tosfos, you have to make this Kiddush. According to the other Shittas, would they really hold Reich HaMilsa, then it's more obvious why there's no Gzeira Fleshit Bread. Okay, so that's just a little point about three ways of reading the end of the Gemara about Reich HaMilsa. The next Tosfos brings up a sugya from Chulin. Dilma asu lechle bekutach. Tosas v'tema v'lechle bekutach. Da nat bar nahu kid da amar perkel basar da mishal v'gara, etc. So Tosas, what's the problem in the first place to make bread in a fleshy tanner? Behold, it's straight zero. You might eat with milk. It says most of you eat with milk. It's called not bar nat, right? Meat into the tanner into the bread. It's not bar nat. So Tosas kasha is what the problem with bread in the fleshy tanner in the first place? It's not bar nat. Okay, what's Tosas' first answer?
It's not
whose sheet is this? You still in the last one? Ask your question, quick.
You said you didn't want to say Tosas thought it was a gazira because he wouldn't ask the question.
But no, I didn't want to say Tosas said it was a chachila, because then he wouldn't have asked the question.
But isn't that what it means? What's the difference between the strength? You think there's a different strength terabonin between the rift type terabonin and...
Because the rift is much of the evidence. According to the Rift,
you think Tosas think it also derived on the other?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. Because he holds the Rift, he must be to the other.
Yeah.
He must hold the Rift on the other. Okay.
Yeah. Okay, whose sheet is this, Shmuley? Whose sheet is the first answer in Tosas? What's
the Rav?
What? No. Which Rishon? The Rivan. Right? Tosas here doesn't quote it from the Rivan. Tosas here says it depends on the 2 days in Rashi. There's a big deal in the Rishon whether it's really true that one day in Rashi would agree with the Rivan or not. But one answer is that what was the famous phrase that the Rivan used? Dogim sha'olu b'kutach are powerful enough or not? Right? He says alu in mispashlu lo alu is not barnat, but cooked is not. Alu is not barnat, but mispashlu. That's a Tam Rishon. Right? So the most Rishonim hold that, right, any not bar not is within the head of not bar not. I'm going to assume you're cooling. But we know the Rivan said that Dagim She'olu B'Kar She'el Basar Ar is Davka Olu, meaning hot fish on a cold plate or cold fish on a hot plate. If it was just not cooking off the fire, just put in a fleshy tray, that's a weak taste that's not bar not. But if you actually cook the Dagim in a fleshy pot, or roasted the dogma on a fleshy grill, then they would get the whole tom of meat. That wouldn't be two steps. They would get out all the tom that's in the pot, and it would only be considered like a one-step tom. And that's what Ashkenazim or Machmor for the Chachil like to be fun, right? Halachomaisa, Sephardim are not kosher for the Rivan. Sephardim say if you cook spaghetti in a fleshy pot, you can put cheese on it. And Ashkenazim, the Chachil are kosher for the Rivan, say no. If you strain spaghetti in a fleshy strainer, then you can put cheese on it. But if you actually cooked spaghetti in a fleshy pot, or you baked bread on a fleshy baking pan, then you cannot put cheese on it. Because, according to Rivan, anytime you actually cook it, that's not not or not. That's considered a tam mamish. And Tosus thinks this might be totally two lashonos in Rashi. Right, the Gemara says if you cut it snown with a fleshik knife, it becomes fleshik. And Rashi says, why in their head to not burn out? So the second answer is because there's schmutz on the knife and it goes straight from the schmutz into the snow. His first answer is that since the snown is harif, it draws out so much taste from the knife that it gets out all the taste from the knife. And therefore it's just one step. Meat into the snow. Because the snow got all the taste from the knife. So Tosus assumes not mukra, but Tosus assumes that according to the first Lashon of Rashi, if cutting a davar charif is so strong that it counts as all one step, then cooking is obviously also so strong transfer of time that it counts as one step, and therefore whenever you cook it, that counts as one step, and there's no hetzer not bar not. Here you actually bake the bread on the oven. Remember, of course, don't imagine modern day ovens. Modern day ovens, you don't bake the bread on the oven at all. Right? You bake the bread on a pan. But right, if you remember, right, with the tapas, that you would stick the bread in the oven. That's how you bake it. So if you actually bake the bread in the oven, then it's there's no hetzer not bar not. Okay, so according to the Rivan, then it's obvious why there's no hetzer not bar not in our sugya. Okay, but if you don't hold like the Rivan, right, we Lamaisa don't hold like the Rivan. Sfardim aren't choshesh for the Rivan at all, and even Ashkenazim are only choshesh l'chachila.
But for the Yemen, where we don't worry about the Rivan, right? If I cook spaghetti in a fleshy pot and put cheese on it, I would eat it, right? Because really, we're not closer to the Rivan. So what's the second answer of Tosos? Exactly. So, second answer is that the problem isn't the belia in the cheres, right? But the be'en that's on the surface. And Tosfos assumes that you can't clean a cheres oven well. Not so clear why. The Gilyan Ashas gets into the technicalities here and points out there's a Rashi and a Kutin who makes it sound like you can clean it very well. Alright, so Rashi doesn't help with this answer. But apparently it's very hard to clean cheres. Maybe it was supposed to say this specifically in an oven. Maybe it's very hard to clean. It's very hard to clean off this cheres, so there's still going to be schmutz on it. And therefore, that's going to be the time Rishon. It's going to be from the schmutz straight into the bread. This gets a little tricky because can't you at least like burn the schmutz off the oven? Like with kashering, right? Rav Bar Ilai's whole point is that you can't kasher the oven. That's why he's a tiyut for the rice, that you can't kasher the oven. So that's what Rav Chanan asks. But from a lot of the Echronim assume, a lot of the Echronim make it sound like, no, Rav Bar Ilai held that even if you lit a fire in the oven, you couldn't get all the schmutz off the oven. It was just impossible to clean the schmutz off the cheres oven. So that's the second answer. A third possible answer is, even though the Rishonim don't say it in Rav Bar Ilai, but what's the third possible answer?
Is it enough or not?
Because?
You don't hold enough or not?
Who's we?
Rav.
Exactly. Later on in the Gemara is Rav. So later on in the Gemara, when they bring in Rav for sure doesn't hold from Naparnat. It's Machlokes is Rav and Shmuel. Shmuel holds from Naparnat and Rav doesn't. That's clear. In the story there, it might be that it wasn't so clear to all the people who lived in that time. But to us, it's clear that Rav doesn't hold from Naparnat. So you could say that, even though the Rishonim explicitly dealing with the end of the sugya, that even in the beginning of the sugya, this whole sugya is ending up with Kasha and Rav, and Rav Bar Ilai probably held like Rav. There's a few Achronim assume that Rav Bar Ilai held like Sofer assumes Rav Bar Ilai held like Rav. So if you say that this sugya holds like Rav, that there's no din of not bar not, then you have solved the problem. Tosfos is not willing to say that. He says, Mehechi takes the whole sugya, you should hold like Rav. But you could say in Ravina David, right, who's the Miriam David is, by the time he says this, he's dealing with a little later on, he's dealing with Rav a little later in the sugya, but it could be that even from the very beginning of the sugya, this whole sugya is going to lead to Rav, no heter not bar not, and that's why we worried about the fleshed bread. This might affect how you read the next line of the Gemara. If we just go to the next line of the Gemara, it says, Amrli Ravina Ravashi v'chimi achardi tosav Rav bar Ilai amaykam Rav kiras pesach shaveru. Right, that's applying to our sugya, right? So far, it didn't have anything to do with Pesach, right? But if it turns out that you can kasher an oven, a stam oven, obviously, is cheres, right? In those days, a stam oven was cheres. So if you can kasher the kli cheres oven, and Rav Bar Ilai was disproven, then why did Rav say you have to break the cheres on Pesach? Just kasher the cheres on Pesach. Put them in a hesek, put them in a fire. So he has two answers. Either says, no, you misunderstood. Rav says, he was talking about cheres. When the Brisa says you can kasher the oven, it was only talking about metal. You can only kasher a metal oven. You can't kasher a cheres oven, so it's no kasher to Rav. Or, and we paskin like this second answer, the vice aim, that no, you don't have to make this weird okimta that's a metal oven. Only Rothschild had a metal oven in those days. It's all cheres, but in kederos, the fire is outside the kedera, obviously, right? You put the kedera on top of the fire, or next to the fire. But in an oven, the fire is inside the oven, and it only counts as liba, tekashim kli cheres, if the fire is inside them, not if the fire is outside them. So the pots, there's nothing you can do, because the fire is outside them, and that's not good enough to do liba. The ovens, you can kasher, because the fire is inside them, and that's good enough to do liba. For example, that's why, let's say modern day ovens, not gross ovens, but modern day, like expensive ovens, are cheres on the inside. Right? Modern day expensive ovens, the inside of the oven is made of a special ceramic. Now, without getting into Torah Mada issues here, which is that this is like especially like modern 21st century or late 20th century technology ceramic that's like super duper everything in the world resistant. And therefore, you might think that maybe it's not really Bolea anyway because it has nothing, it's not at all similar to what they had 2,000 years ago. It's some specially material designed by scientists to be, resistant to things that are like ridiculously, trying to get in there. But even besides that, let's assume that we're not going to be mechadish that we, have special ceramics nowadays. Even though it's a kli cheres, you can still turn on your self-cleaning oven and kasher that cheres because the fire is on the inside. And if the fire is on the inside, then you can kasher a cheres oven because we hold like the second answer here. That's ma'isim b'chol yom, that if you self-clean your oven, then you've kashered it. Even, most people don't know it's cheres on the inside. But it really is in expensive ovens. They're cheres on the inside because the cheres is that special kind of cheres. They spend a lot of money making it because it's less permeable than metal. But it's cheres on the inside, but you can still kasher because it's a seikon mi bifnim. So the Gemara just asks, technically, if you tema hachi nami le'ovid le'esak mi bifnim, why don't you just make a fire inside your pots and you don't have to break them? No, chayis alei mishum de'paka, chazal made gzera, that you'll be afraid of breaking your pots because ovens are supposed to have fire on the inside. So of course you'll build a fire on the inside. Pots are not supposed to have fire on the inside and it usually breaks them. So therefore that Chazal made a gzera that you can't build a fire inside your pots to kasher them because you'll probably not really make a strong enough fire because you're afraid of it breaking. Hilchach, Haibuchya has taken with Yechutzu Be'aser, therefore there's something called a Buchya, which was made of, it seems to be some sort of like forged ceramic tiles of some sort, and the fire went outside of it. It was like some sort of baking or frying tray, and therefore it's usher to kasher it. The imal yagumri shaper dummy, but if you fill it up with coals and build a fire on the inside, then it's okay. And the Rishonim seem to assume that it's because buchyas are stronger than kederos. Right? A kedera is just stam pottery. A buchya is some very, very strong kli. And therefore, the buchya won't break if you build a fire inside. So there's no kedera, so you're allowed to do a strange thing and fill it up with coals and burn an oil out inside, and that will do the trick. Because buchyas are very strong and don't break.
Coals do as good as a job as a flame?
Coals are a flame in the old... That...
They're
I mean, even if... Even if the coals aren't necessarily flaming, it's still heat. You don't need a flame you don't need a flame to cut. First of all, I don't know whether this meant that like there were like coals that you could still light or that you couldn't. Right before you barbecue, you can light the coals. After you barbecue, you can't. So I don't know what kind of gumri they meant. But in any case, we paskin that you don't need a flame to kasher. We paskin you can kasher in an electric oven. Right, you can kasher with a self-cleaning electric oven. Even though there's no flame, because it's still considered an ish. So, but again, I'm not sure in this Mal Yagumri whether it was like before it was like before you start the barbecue or in the middle of the barbecue. I sort of assumed that you filled it with Gumri and then lit them and then they tapped the tomato flame. okay. There's one side problem in reading the Shaka Vatari that the Mefarshim bring up, which is, anyone have a problem reading the Shaka Vatari here? So you have the Rav Bar Eli, right? Which are the same answers? Exactly. He can't give the second answer, right? The second answer is that you can kasher ovens, but not pots. And he said you couldn't kasher ovens. That wasn't going to help. But why didn't Rav Bar Ilai give the first answer? Right? Why is Rav Bar Ilai itosav? Why didn't he just say, I was talking about a cheres oven, and the Bryce is talking about a metal oven, like the first answer of Rav? That is... bothered mostly the Achronim, only one of the Rishonim, I believe, was bothered by this, which is Ravinu David. Anyone have the answer? I'm not sure what the answer is. I mean, there's so many answers suggested out there, but you should at least think of a question. Why didn't Rav Bar Ilai say, I was asring a chas oven, and the Bryce was mastering a metal oven? Sounds, I mean, if it's good enough for Rav, then it should be good enough for Rav Bar Ilai, right? If the Gemara, the Lashon of the Gemara is, Ibai Seima, meaning, the first answer is good, or the second answer is good. So he could have given the first answer.
Then you wouldn't have to kasher it, because if you weren't Rav, you would hold it up or not, and then you could just cook on it if you hold the second answer close.
Exactly. Exactly. So that's what most of the Achronim. That's pretty clear according to the second answer of Tosos. You don't have a problem. Why didn't Rav Bar Ahilai answer that? Cheres is usher, but Matekes is mutter. So the I'm just gonna look up. Who said Yaakov's answer? Correct. The Tzlach and the Sus, MS both say the same answer. He says, if you take this, then it's easy. Because if the Brisa was Matekes, you wouldn't need to kasher it, just clean it, because naparna is mutter. Again, this is assuming, like Tosos, that he holds on like Rav. If Rav really holds in the hefter naparna, he couldn't have said that the Bryce was a metal oven. Because a metal oven doesn't even have to be kashered, it just has to be cleaned. Because everyone agrees you can clean metal. It's only cheres that's too hard to clean. Everyone knows you can clean metal. So so that's one answer. Rav Yehudah can't give that answer necessarily, meaning if we understood it properly. If Rav Bar Ilai also holds like Rav, then he can't give that answer. What if Rav Yehudah actually gives another answer? He says that the Gemara knew that Rava Bar Ahilai held that even a metal oven was usher. So it was a maisa, right? There was a certain oven. It wasn't a statement. It was an actual physical oven. There was an oven that was smeared and Rava Bar Ahilai ushered it. The Gemara knew what kind of oven it was because the people who wrote the Gemara spoke to people who were there and saw the oven. And they knew that Rav Bar Ilai ushered even a metal oven and said you couldn't even kasher a metal oven. He was a super duper macher, said you couldn't even kasher a metal oven, and therefore he couldn't have given Rav's first answer. Why can't you kasher a metal oven is a bit tricky. The Rav David assumes it's a gzeira. Couldn't kasher a metal oven is a gzeira, you know, lest you forget to kasher it. Because it's hard to imagine anyone holding a kasher metal. It's against the chumash, right? Whoever is saying you can't kasher metal, doesn't the chumash say you can't kasher metal? So you have to say that means Rabbanan was usher and couldn't be kashered. Mid Rabbanan. He was a big machri. He held that the Rabbanan ushered metal ovens even after you kasher them. No, I think it was Atu using it before you kasher it. I think that was his, Shema, Pashav lo Masikle. because you might forget the kashrut. They say you can't use it even after you kashrut. Gzeira, let's use it before you kashrut. Again, that's a big chumrah. Whoever heard that on every trade thing, we say don't use it after you kashrut. Let's use it before you kashrut. That's a big chumrah. But he has to say, Rav Bar Ilai, I have this crazy chumrah. It might be specifically in this case, because the Ramban of Rav in, sorry, I meant in Chulin, Rav Kofi Dalf mentions that, they were specially worried about this case because everyone, there's a reason you smeared fat on the oven. Right? He doesn't say why. I assume the reason you smeared fat on the oven so it wouldn't stick to the oven. That's what we do nowadays. Or maybe to, so maybe it gives you a taste or something. It says the simply thing is the more proper goyish there for baking is the smear fat on the oven first. So therefore, right, even nowadays, right? Whenever we bake anything, we smear fat on it first. Just we don't use animal derived fat. We use something that's chemically a fat that's derived from plants, which is called oil.
We don't use animal fat.
What?
Goyim
still smear lard or something. Yeah. I don't know. They probably don't use so much lard nowadays because they consider it less healthy or something. They think it's more fattening, whatever. But yeah, so it could be that specifically in this case they made gzeira. Since the normal goyish way of baking is to smear fat on the oven, we're very, very, very afraid that even if you say you're really kosher, you won't. So they made a special gzeira, even a metal oven, even if you kosher it, you can never use the oven again. If you once put lard in the oven, you've already shown that you have this yetzer hara to bake in the goyish way, and you're going to cut corners, and therefore throw out your oven and start again. And then you'll be on the right gera. That's the super duper chumer of Rav Bar Ilai. Well, for the second day of Tosos, you could give the answer of the Tzlach. The Tzlach says, for the second day of Tosos, that since we hold from a heter of not barnav, then it's obvious why he couldn't say the brisa was metal. So if the brisa was metal, then it wouldn't need kashering at all. It would just need wiping with a rag. And there'd be a heter of not barnav, because everyone knows you can wipe metal. That's pasha.
It's the garment to use not barnav.
No, because we're not saying it's mutter to use not burn out and eat the bread with kuta. We're just saying at least it should be mutter to eat the bread with parv. Right? Because in not burn out, there's no gzeira of making the bread trick. So all we're looking for is to matter the bread, not to matter it with milk. In the first answer of Tosfos, the Achiezer wants to answer according to the first answer of Tosfos.
You said an op or not answer, you could even do it with Hefty, because it would be assuming that official derivation is not a problem.
If you say that again, if you wiped off the oven.
You go to the oven, if you, the Tzlach's answer, the Havamina would have been that the question is why didn't Rav Bar Ilai say you can just, why didn't he say it's Matafes? Why didn't he say he's talking about Matafes? And the answer is because the then you wouldn't have to kasher it, rather you could cook it lechatchila to eat with fleishik.
Or part, but not with milk.
I meant with milk, like, even.
I didn't think that's what he was saying.
No, I mean, if you hold there's no problem of not or not there official, then what's the problem?
This is something which is not explicit in Gemara. It's only in some Rishonim and the Achronim, which is that they say that this is what Shmuel is referring to, the way we paskin, Bein Ashkenaz and Bein Sfardim, is that not l'chachila, like whether you can eat it once it's cooked, but you shouldn't cook a not for not in the first place in order to take advantage of this din.
Even the real
non-rebundics
held that?
Correct. Even the real Shmuelniks who are not rebundics, they are thrown of assume. I can't prove to you from the Gemara, I can't prove to you from most Rishonim. But the way we pass it is that even the anything mix hold you should avoid in the first place if possible.
Even Shmuel would say
don't put it in that oven in the first place if you want to eat it with milk.
Why?
Why is not so clear, because maybe he compares it to like Bithelis or Lechachila. Or Yesh L'matirin, or maybe he just thinks that, you know, that if you're totally not careful at all, it'll lead to, you know, mixing up meat and milk. So, but you're right, that's not something we prove either way from Shas, not something we prove either way from Tosfos, so we'll leave it for now. The Achiezer has another answer to this. The Achiezer wants to say that he can't answer, but that's maybe a little more, a little more indirect, maybe even populist, if you want to say. He said he couldn't have given this answer that kam b'shal teres, kam b'shal lateches, because once you he admits that that heating up the oven kashrus mateches, anything which kashrus mateches has to at least get most of the fat out of teres. And if it got most of the fat out of teres, then even the Rivan would admit that it's only an afar not, and then the bread should be mutter. That's what the Achiezer wants to say. He wants to say this for both Deis and Tosfos. He says that because if Rava Bar Eloi admitted that Pesach totally cleaned out Mateches, he would have to admit that it mostly cleans out Cheres, and the matter because of not bar not. This is of course based on the assumption that anything good enough to totally kasher mateches is good enough to mostly kasher cheres. And therefore, even the Rivan, once it's mostly kasher, that's already a secondary case. That's already not bar not. So the Achiezer gives the different answers. So there's a few different answers to why Rav Bar Eloi didn't give Rav's first answer. Not clear. It's hard to prove what the real one is.
And then there's a Achiezer of one and not.
What? Well, once it goes... What?
You can't clean out the metal?
Yeah, apparently, according to the Achiezer, he seems to assume, this is by the way, I feel like Deis and Kesvav, he seems to assume that Rav Bar Eloi really held that you couldn't even kasher a metal kli, seemingly make her a dip, which would be a big chidush, right, against what we just said before, that how can anyone think you can't kasher a metal oven? Apparently he thought that maybe, I don't know, that like fires and ovens were not good enough to kasher, and that's not what the Torah meant. The Torah didn't mean oven, the Torah meant other things. You're right, that would be a big chidush. Okay, so we're not exactly sure why he didn't give this answer. Might depend on how he got around not bar not in the first place. You know, if you said basically he admits there could be a heter not bar not here, you just haven't reached that heter yet, then you have more options you have for them to answer this question. If you say he doesn't admit there's ever a heter not bar not, then you're stuck with the Rebbeinu David, which works out fine with Shitase. The last thing I want to discuss today, I guess, I don't know how many, if you haven't, people got to the Gemara in Zvachim. What?
Actually, it's the Gemara, but that's other Rosh.
Well, okay. Well, let's get ahead of ourselves a little. In the beginning of the Morin, what's the relation between the beginning of the Morin Zvachin and our Sugya? What's the relation between the first half of the Morin Zvachin and our Sugya? What? In Zvachin. Not Zvachin,
I
involved.
I need to be Morin Zvachin, but I assume it has something to do with Paris being Usher and Leah's in Paris.
Okay. It's actually just the word for a copy of Argamar. Right? If you look, shouldn't there be a source of Shas here someplace? How Tanura? Amar Rav, Kiyos Be'ashi Javeru, the source of Shas says, Vachem Sadi Hamid Beis. How Tanura talk of Tichya? Shum. Aim Washim Se'isha, many places, including Vachem Sadi Hamid Beis. Basically, our entire Sugya is repeated word for word in Zvachim Sadi Hamid Beis. It's our entire sugya word for word. They just add one thing. What's the one thing they add? Okay. All right. The one thing they add, I'll let you go back and see it, is the idea of Kipshonos. You know what? Which is actually discussed a little later in our sugya also. We'll discuss it a little, even if we haven't seen it inside. I'll read you the Gemara in Zvachim. Word for word our sugya in the beginning, which is what makes it interesting that the end is not. Right? You ready for some speed reading? How Tandura? The Afka Batikya Asra Rav Bar Eli the Michel Rifli the Olam Field Milcha Demo Asa Michel Kutach Mesa Ein Lashes Is Bchal Avim Lash Kol Pasku Lasura and they heard Lavir if he also in Tasha Zatan of Alu in Tasha Kol Pasku Lasura she asked Zatan or she yupta the Rav Bar Eli she yupta I'm not revealing Rashi Chli Achli Tosa of Rav Bar Eli I'm I am a Rav Kiyos of Pesach Yishavim I'm Rlei Rav Mogi Lahav Shema Teches it's like the Lash the same thing this Matech that's Cheres I by Zayim of Tanish Shal Cheres Zeh Segmi Yufnem Zeh Segmi Yachutz But now that I'm talking with them, Chai is allowed the mitvare. Instead of pocket, they have mitvare, same thing. Helka Chai Kubi, instead of Buchya, is a Sekum Vachutsu Vyasar. And then it's they end there. Now, instead of going on to discuss Buchya, they Gemara asks a question. This is on the last, just the first three lines of Tzadi Vavun Aleph. Ela Kedir Shal Mikdash Amai Yishaveru. Why do you have to break the path of the Beis HaMikdash? How do we know you have to break the path of the Beis HaMikdash? Yeah, okay, good. Pasuk about it. How do we know you have to break the path in the Beis HaMikdash? Now, Drina Likipshonos, why don't you just put them back into the kiln? Right, the kiln is the furnace where they make pottery. Right, what's the point? What do we learn here, right? Everyone in kindergarten learns you can't kasher Kli Cheres, right? Remember that from kindergarten? But it's not true. You can't kasher Kli Cheres, right? Just you have to do a very, very strong fire. So if the sake of Yufnim, that's a strong enough kashering. If the sake of Yufnim, that's a problem. And in regular Kalim, it's a Gzeira, not to make a sake of Yufnim, if it's not cut out for that, because of the Chayis double pucking. But they say, just put in a kiln. That's a really, really strong fire. Right? Put in the Kivshan. Kivshan's a really strong fire. That's just as strong as a sake of Yufnim. That's where they throw people when they're very, very mad at them, right? They never put threw Avram into a tanner. That's just a tanner. They threw him into a kivshan ha'ish. A kivshan is really, really hot. So, Amrav, Zera Lefisha ain't olsen kivshonos b'Yerushalayim. Right? So, why do we have to break the kelim of the mikdash? Why not just kasher them by putting them into a kiln? What's the answer? Would it work or wouldn't it work? Put it into a kivshan. It would work, so why don't we do it? Because it's against the zoning regulations, right? In Vasa, there are many zoning regulations. And one of the zoning regulations, Yerushalayim has the strictest zoning regulations because it has to look very nice. One of the zoning regulations that you can't make kivshans in Yerushalayim because they mess up the whole environment and it's not nice for Yerushalayim. So, since there is a zoning regulation against Kivshonos in Yerushalayim, and for sure, and you'll say, what about before they had zoning regulations? So the Rishonim point out, well, in the time of the giving of the Torah, they were in the Midbar. For sure they didn't have Kivshonos in the Midbar, because you had to build in fixed places, and you couldn't carry them around with you like your tents. So since Kivshonos weren't available, they had to break the pots. But, theoretically, if a Kivshon were available, then, if the kivshon were available, then they would, let's say nowadays, we'll rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, and you can make a kivshon in Modi'in, or in Hebron, or someplace. And you'll just have a little zip line of a bus that, you know, they'll load them onto a bus, and they'll go down and put them in a kivshon someplace else, and zip them back up. And it won't be a big deal. So it'll be fine, so you can cash roll the Kli Cheres, no problem. no problem with the Kli Cheres. So the question is, how come the Gemara brought Kivshonos in Zvachim? Again, really, there were no Kivshonos in Yerushalayim. But as a theoretical possibility, you know, and I think nowadays we could do it, because the Kivshonos don't have to be in Yerushalayim. We have modern transportation. Or we could, you know, probably make a kivshan that wouldn't pollute or something. And we have, you know, sure we could figure out some way around that. How can they bring up kivshonos in Zvachim and didn't bring up kivshonos in Psachim? Why in Psachim? Why don't we kasher our Kli Cheres by putting them in a kivshan? What's the answer? Why are there kivshonos in Zvachim and no kivshonos in Psachim? And of course, because in Psachim, you're not in Yerushalayim, right? You're in a regular town. So you taka do have a kivshan. So Kal Vachomer, really, in Zvachin, they said, well, why don't you just kasha the Kedaros, the Cheres Pats, Kedaros, kasha the Kedaros and a Kivshan? And the answer is, well, there are no Kivshans in Yerushalayim. But in Pesach, we're talking about every Jew and wherever he lives. Of course he has a Kivshan in his town. How do you think he gets Pats? So, in Pesachim, for sure they should have said, let's just bring all the Pats to the Kivshonos. Kedaros for Pesach. You don't have to be Shavir, you can bring him to the Kivshonos. You could kasha everything, just put him in the Kivshan. So, how come they didn't bring up the Kivshonos in our Sogya?
The Rosh says that they did. That when Rav said Yishabeh, we were going to essentially the same thing, breaking a kli versus the same thing as since when you make it, when you put it in the kitchen, it's new. So when he said break it, that's the same thing. Get rid of the old and come in with the
exactly. New. So, what's the fundamental? The fundamental machlokas is, right, do Kivshonos work in Pesachim, right? So the Rosh says, yes, he says, of course Kivshonos work. Why didn't the Gemara say to use Kivshonos? So the answer is, they did, right? Kivshonos are Yishaveru. After all, what's a Kivshan? When you put a Klicheris in a Kivshan, then the Kivshan is how you make a Klicheris, right? So basically, it gets unmade and remade again. So that's the Chalal Yishaveru.
That shouldn't be the Zahira of Chayes.
Aha. So the Rosh says, yes. Okay, one second. And then you have to just ask yourself two things, right? Why no Chayes Dilma Paki? And why is it not mentioned? So, what's the answer? According to the Rush, what's the answer? Why is it not mentioned in our sugya? So Yaakov says, it is mentioned. It's included in Yishaveru. That's what he meant. Kederos v'hesach Yishaveru. If you want to cast your Kederos on Pesach, then you have to put them back into the kiln. That's considered like breaking them because you're making, you're basically making them from scratch. That's included in the lashon of, Yishaveru. They didn't mention our sugya. Why is there no chayis domopaki? According to the Rush?
To the Messiah, it's like it's equally distributed intense heat that you're apparently not scared is going to make your thing crack.
correct. It's now the truth is a little funny because the Rush sort of in the beginning and at the end seems to say two different svaros why there's no gzera.
One difference is that if you're using coals, you either put the coals in the middle or you put the coals on the outside. So once you see you're using coals, so you think you could just put it anywhere. But if you're using a kitchen, you just stick it in and that's what you do. So you may not come to not use a kitchen.
Right, good. So the Rush actually said both of these things. In the beginning, he says that ki hashal heves olo b'chol etzadim v'lo paka, that it doesn't break in a kivshan because the heat is on the inside and the outside, which I think what Yaakov was saying. Right? Why is those there? Because, basically, he says, because heat is evenly. Now, again, don't ask me. I've never done any experiments with Klicheris. It's true that the heat is evenly distributed, that it won't break. Maybe. And he also adds, the heat is evenly distributed, it won't break. And then he also adds, he says, Kaven shechnisol has a godo kazev vaday lo chayisoleu. It's so hot, right? I think this is what Shuli is saying. It's so hot that of course you're not worried it might break. Like you're putting in such a hot fire that there's no, you know, there's no way to save it. If you put it into such a hot fire, obviously you're committed. You're not going to have an opportunity to cut corners. He says in a regular fire. No, he's not saying exactly what you're saying. Because what you're saying is that if you put it into coals, then you might be chayis domo paki and not put enough coals or put the coals on the outside or something. So you put it in the oven, then there's no way to cut corners. So he says at the end, no, there is a way to cut corners. You can take it out of the oven and you could not leave it in long enough. He says, no, but if you put it into such a strong fire that you've shown psychologically that you're not interested in cutting corners. You know, it's like a gerfekatum. Well, it's my colleague showing why gerfekatum works. Like one day in gerfekatum, that why are you allowed to leave your food on Shabbos if you're gerfekatum? Because you've shown that you don't really, you're not so machbid on how hot it is. Over here, when you put it in strong fire, you've shown that you're not machbid on saving it. The heat is evenly distributed, so it won't break. And you've shown you're not makbid, or rather you're not chayus, because it's so hot. It's so hot that obviously you're not chayus if you're willing to put it into a kipshon. Obviously you're comfortable going all the way to kashrut. So he says that there's no problem of chayis the mopaki in putting back in a kivshan, and of course, you can put it back into a kivshan if you want to kasher your klicheres for Pesach. Of course, you can kasher klicheres for Pesach by putting it into a kivshan, no problem. And the only reason they didn't mention it is because they didn't mention it, because he says klicheres pesach yishav eru, and that's part of yishav eru. Rabbeinu David in. Also admits, he says the same idea, that in the kivshan it's not paka. But here he has a different explanation why it's not mentioned in our sugya in his first day. Why does he say it's not mentioned in our sugya?
It's not worth it.
Exactly, because it's not worth it. one second. Yeah. Or it's not worth it for a private person. Over there, they're talking about the mikdash. The mikdash is assembly line, mass production. They have a lot of. They have a lot of kalim. And for them, it's worth it to bring it to the kitchen. Mount Klova also points out that they had so many kalim in the mikdash that if they broke them all the time, there'd be such a mess of garbage that it's worth making kivshas, they wouldn't have to worry about the garbage disposal. You know, they wouldn't have to worry where to put all the broken gedalos. So in the mikdash, it was worth it to have a kivshan. But in our guy, for Pesach, one guy who owns three pots once a year, it's not worth bringing it to the kivshan, because pots are very cheap. Karis pots are very cheap. And it's cheaper to buy new ones, and it's not worth firing up a kivshan. Now, okay, what if coincidentally, like, if someone happens to be running their kivshan anyway, and he asks that I rent it for 10 minutes to put in my pot, then I don't know. But in general, it's worth it in the mikdash to have the kivshan, because they have mass production, but it's not worth it for a private person to have a kivshan. That's why it wasn't mentioned in our sugya. But basically, the first day of Rabbeinu David, and the Rush, who's really quoting the Rav Yah, right? That's where he starts. He says, Kasav Rabbeinu Avi Ezrizal. This is the Rush and the Rav Yah. And this is, there are other Rishonim different days about it. Say that you can use Kivshonos, because Kivshonos are not paka. They don't break, and we're not afraid of it. There's nothing to be afraid of. You're putting such a strong fire. And in our sugya, either it was mentioned, just Beremez, or it wasn't mentioned because it's not practical on a small scale of one guy once a year who owns two pots. I mean, how many pots do people own in the old days? Not like nowadays you own 20 pots. You own two or three pots for Pesach. In which case, we should be able to use Kivshonos nowadays. However, what's the other day?
David says, we don't trust you, we trust Kohanim.
Right? So that is, by the way, who, before Rabbeinu David says, it's usher to use Kivshonos and Pesachim. Who does the Rush quote?
The grandfather of the Rav Yah.
Who is the grandfather of the Rav Yah? The grandfather of Rav Yah was, I mean, of course he is the Ravan. The Ravan, you ever see the Ravan? You had nothing to do with Ibn, it's just the Ravan.
No, I know.
Avram Bar Nassan, yeah.
Yeah, I saw
it. Yeah, that's the Ravan. It's a Sefer Ravan, which people quote sometimes. That's the Rav Yah's grandfather, his maternal grandfather. I believe Ravan was not a lady. But the Ravan, and this is also being dubbed in his second day, says, that there's no heter of kavshonos. That there's no heter of kavshonos whatsoever in our sugya, right? So, because Chayas Dilma Paki, he says no. Even in kavshonos, we're afraid you might cut corners because you don't want to break it. What corners will you cut? You won't leave it in long enough, and you'll just put it in for 5 minutes. You won't put it in for half an hour, however long it takes to really get hot. Ah, why in Zvachim then do they allow kavshonos? So the Ravun doesn't explain, but what does Ravina David explain?
He says the Kohanim we trust. I wasn't sure if that's because there's reason in general or because they all have a vested interest because it's not their money.
Okay, good, excellent. So the answer is Ravina David says that the Kohanim, well, I thought his lashon was. I thought his lashon was clear. She'ein chosin kol kach al shivron kli cheres. The kohanim and the mikdash are not worried about breaking a kli cheres. Ein chosin kol kach. They don't care so much.
Because their priorities are straight, or because they don't pay for it.
So the chiddush Iran says, and the Maram Chalava when he quotes this says, because it's not their money. It also could just be inanias makam ashiras, but so why isn't it okay in Vachim? So Rabbi David and the Chidush Haran and the Maharam and the Maharam Chalava say because they're not frugal in the Mikdash, right? Because, like, they're trying to do things right. They're, you know, when does someone have a Yetzer Hara to, probably because it's not their money, right? They're, everyone would like to keep all the halacha properly. Why do people cut corners? Because they have a Yetzer Hara and they don't want to lose money. But, like, Einon Kol Tevel Olo, why would anyone cut corners with the Beis HaMikdash's money, right? Like, of course, why would the Kohanim care so much? First of all, they were all very rich and couldn't care about a Kli Cheres anyway. And the Beis HaMikdash was richer than any of the Kohanim. And in any case, like, it's not their money. Why would they violate the halacha? Like, everyone, from every firm person, we assume would want to do everything right until he had a Yitzhara, and they have no Yitzhara. So that's the Me'iri. The Me'iri suggests what Yaakov wants to say first. He says Kohanim is reason, eh? That the Kohanim are just reason, he says, no, maybe the reason we trust the Kohanim is because we don't want is reason, and they're always, we can always count on them, we can always count on them a little more. But the most of the Rishonim try to explain just because, like, not necessarily because they have specialist reasons, just like, why would they care about the Kli Cheres? It's not theirs, and it's very cheap anyway, and there's plenty of money to buy new ones. That's why it's okay in Zvachim. Okay, let's leave that for now. Halacha l'maisa, there's a big nafkamina between these different deos, which is halacha l'maisa, can you kashrut kli cheres by putting it in the kivshan, right? This man is that, right? We're not talking about the Beis HaMikdash, a regular person, right? According to the Rush and the Rabia, nowadays, if you have a treif kli cheres, right? Most of our dishes are kli cheres nowadays. So if it gets treifed up, if you want, you can kasher it by putting it in a by putting it in a kivshan. According to the Ravan and the according to the Ravan and the all the other Rishonim bring down different deos about it, Ravina Dov and everyone else, according to the Ravan. And the other day in the Rishonim, nowadays Kivshonos won't help because we have a gzeira of chayis doma or chayis doma paki. Halacha lemaisa. Doesn't not discussed in it's not discussed in too many places, but I know that Rav Tendler told me that he understood from his father-in-law that the Ikar do we hold like the Rush. That seems the way the Achronim all quote the Rush here. That really, even nowadays, if you have a trade for Kli-Cheres, or if you want to cash it with Pesach, though no one would bother just with Pesach, but if you have a trade for Kli-Cheres, you could cash it by putting it in a Kipshan. He told me as well that he had a Masorah from his, father-in-law, that self-cleaning oven counts as a Kipshan.
You really pull it out?
You can pull it out of a Kipshan too, it's just, you probably won't because it's super hot. The truth is, a self-cleaning oven, you can't pull it out.
It locks.
It's better than a Kipshan. A Kipshan, you psychologically probably won't pull it out. Mm-hmm. Self-cleaning oven, you actually can't pull it out. I guess theoretically, you could unplug the oven. You could cancel the self-cleaning cycle.
Yeah,
but it definitely seems to be. Now, it wasn't 100% clear to me that this was Mukhra, because the Kipshans they had in the time of Chazal were probably around. A lot of Americans here, right? We're probably around 1100 degrees Fahrenheit, and self-cleaning ovens are usually closer to 850 degrees Fahrenheit. But the Rav Tendler told me that he understood from his father-in-law that self-cleaning ovens are as good as a kipshan because it's a very hot fire, and once you put it in, we know you're committed, and we're not afraid that you'll want to take it out early, and because the heat is evenly distributed all around, and it won't crack. And he says that he has done this and kashered china in a self-cleaning oven, even though, again, china is hesek on the bachutz, right? It's not supposed to have a fire inside. It should be gzeira of chayisolim shem depaka. But since it's like a kipshan, there's no gzeira, and he assumed like the Rush and the Rav Yah. And he says you can actually kasher china in a self-cleaning oven, and it will like get a little soft and reharden, like yishaveru, but it'll still be there.
Where's the inside of china?
What?
Where's the inside of china?
I guess.
So what does the inside mean?
I guess the inside here means the top, right? You really in China you don't put a fire anywhere,
right?
But that's got to be worse. That's more chomer than a sikum mechutz, right? Meaning, what's the point of a sikum mechutz is that it's not meant to withstand a hesek b'fnim. So china is not meant to withstand any hesek. So kal v'chomer there should be gzeira d'machayis, right? You're right. It's not technically a sikum mechutz. It's technically not supposed to have a hesek at all. So kal v'chomer there should be gzeira not the kasher china. Because if it's not made to have a hesek at all, then of course you can't put a hesek on the top. B'fnim would be the top where the food goes, I guess. Then kal v'chomer should be also. But it's a kifshan, it is mutter. So it might have an afkamina, even bismanazeh. He just says that you have to be careful. You can only put in one at a time, because if you stack two plates on top of each other, then the top one will leave an indentation in the bottom, because they get soft and hard again. And then you will see like a circle on the bottom one with the top one pressed on it. But if you don't have any pressure on them, then they'll get a little soft and reharden exactly the same way they used to be. Just they will be kosher based on the Rush and the Rabban here. Okay, that's I apologize for getting ahead of some of us. But next year we'll get into the very, very, very complicated sugya. These were fairly straightforward, just small points, of Sakinim on Pesach, which really gets to there some real yesodistic issues. Well, almost all the real yesodistic issues about kashrut for Pesach, and the Rishonim here are going to be very, very long and intricate, and the rewards will be commensurate. So we'll pick up with Sakinim, Meretz Hashem, on Thursday. We won't finish Sakinim on Thursday, but we'll start.
Where do we mention the Rav Yah again?
The Rav Yah was who the Rush was quoting.